Take our Bibles and open to Psalm 95. If you didn't receive one of these little booklets, just raise your hand and Chuck will give you one. Now we're on the reading number 2, but I just wanted to go back and just quickly review what we had read the other day in John 4. It says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now what did we say it meant to worship in spirit? Remember? You wrote it down, right? It's got to be from within, right? It's the inner man. It's from the heart. It's not necessarily something outward, but it's something that's within. It's in spirit. God is a spirit. And then in truth, remember what that was? It's in sincerity. According to the word. According to God's word. And so today I'd just like us to look at some of the ways we express our worship. Now we talked about our whole life being worship to God. But there are ways that the Bible tells us or instructs us as how we ought to worship. And so in this Psalm 95, we'll read it together. We'll find a number of ways that the psalmist encourages us or instructs us to worship. I believe David was a worshiper. And we'll find that in as we go along in our readings. David knew how to worship God. It became a way of life to him. And so, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Now just in these few short verses, I had 7 things that involve our worship. All right, so let's start. What is the first one? What's the first one that you found?
Sing.
Sing. Now I started somewhere else, but that's good. I said, oh, come. And 3 times in this psalm it says, oh, come. Now, is that part of our worship? We're coming to our great God and King, and we come and we present ourselves. And that's where worship begins. We come. We come to him. We don't worship nature. We worship the Creator. We don't worship the sun or the moon. We worship the one who made the sun. And so we come. That's what I put first. The second thing was sing, right? Sing unto the Lord. We've been instructed to do that. Sing. Sing a new song. The next one?
Shout joyfully.
Shout joyfully. Do you like that? Has God ever moved you so that from within there comes a shout?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Shout aloud. It's okay to be a little loud. Is that right, Heidi?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We can say, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, another one. What's the next one? Verse 2. Thanksgiving. Yes, thanksgiving. Come before his presence with thanksgiving. That's part of our worship. The next one. Yes, I have, some have joyful, a joyful noise with psalms. And I think the NIV has extol him with music and song. And so we can sing and we can make music to God. The New Testament says, sing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. This is all part of the way we express our worship. And then you have to jump down now a few verses. Verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down, bow down. And we kneel then, kneel before the Lord our Maker. Now again, all of these things are only worship if they come from the heart, in spirit. All right, now I'll let you look up these other references. 63, Psalm 63. I think one of the things I'd like us to see this morning is sometimes we maybe look around and say, why are they doing that? Why are they lifting their hands? Or why are they so loud? We had a brother in our church whom the Lord had mightily saved, and he would praise the Lord very loud. And some people didn't like it. It wasn't Uncle Tom. It was another brother I'm thinking of. And they didn't like it. But you know what? That was, God moved him and he just let it out. You know, God had delivered him from great sin and great bondage. And he had much to be thankful for.
Brother Phil.
Yes.
Before we go any further, I just have to say this. On verse 6 of 95, it says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Now, I came here this morning, and your dad's kneeling down there, 90 years old, and it blessed my heart. Blessed my heart. People forget. You know, come to churches, and they're loud. We talk. We gossip. We forget to come in before the presence of the Lord in a holy atmosphere and kneel before Him, the One who saved us, who has given us eternal life. We've been saved from sin. What a tremendous thing that's happened. And I was reminded of, it was Pearl Young would get at the altar and she'd say, oh Lord, don't let me get used to the manna, don't let me get used to the manna, don't let me, and I heard this through a testimony, I think, through a Hans Walpole tape. I didn't understand what that meant because I was newly saved, and of course now I understand what that meant. Don't let me get used to the presence of God like it's nothing. You know, don't let me get used to this and that. Help me to have that burning feeling and that greatness of gratefulness in my heart that I'm saved. And when I see people kneeling before the Lord, it blesses me. You just don't see that today. And I just want to encourage people that we should learn that facet. Get down before the Lord. Kneel before Him. It's good to kneel before the Lord instead of just be comfortable. Mm-hmm. But you have to know who we're praying to. We're praying to our God. So, thank you for kneeling.
Thank you, Lord. We were taught, I don't even remember who taught us way back, but the attitude you come to church with, if you're driving your car, you come, you don't talk to your husband or your wife or your kids, but you say, Father, let your holy anointing rest on this service today. Come praying. That's what we were taught at Philip Avenue. And to this day, after the pastor speaks in the morning, I say, thank you, Pastor, for your words. We come praying. Mm-hmm. Keep it up, sister. Mm-hmm. I think he doesn't hear that from many other people there because they're from a different denomination. They don't have that. Mm-hmm. Like Charles said one day when we were reading and praying, though he has total dementia, he said, we have been greatly favored by God to come through this fellowship. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Uncle Hans and your father, Gottfried Walpole, and your son, we have a godly fellowship that God has brought us into. And I'll hush now. But that's, Charles said one day, we have been greatly privileged, Marie. I said, yes, we sure have.
Amen.
Amen. Don't forget it. And come, bring Jesus with you when you come to church.
The meeting, yes. We're encouraged here at camp to come 15 minutes before the start time of the meetings. The staff is encouraged to be here. And maybe that would be a good thing to practice now. We've heard it. Maybe we ought to kneel down when we come in. And we touch God that way. We shouldn't just come and look around or, you know, oh, I got to sit here for 15 minutes and before things start. But as the organ is playing and as we're just waiting upon God, maybe it's good to go to your knees when you come in. So thank you for that instruction. All right, Psalm 63 and Psalm 141, 2. Now, there are a number of things I found in these verses, but there's something that's common between both of them, and what is that? Okay, there's the lifting up of our hands, right? We lift our hands, it says, in His name. Now, what does that mean? I lift up my hands in His name, to His name. What does that mean?
He's sovereign. He's Lord. I surrender all. Thus will I bless Him by lifting my hands in His name. I found that if I find it maybe not within me to audibly praise the Lord and then just lift my hand, presently it'll be audible.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
I come, I exalt You. Amen. I praise or pray, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if it meant the same thing in the day of the Psalms, but today when you put up your hands, like sort of like when you get under arrest, you know, put up your hands and you're saying, okay, I'm
surrendering.
I give up.
Mm-hmm. I think that's all part of it, right? We yield ourselves to Him. We're giving ourselves to God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus, I'm Yours. Another place in the Psalms, it speaks of those lifting up of our hands as a sacrifice. Let it be like the morning and evening sacrifice, the lifting up of my hands. Lord, I'm Yours. I give myself to You. I praise You. You are King. I worship You. And so let's be free to do that. Have you ever lifted your hands? We've been taught and found it to be so that there are times when we, just that act of lifting up our hands brings a release inside. Sometimes the enemy would like to keep those hands down. But when we lift them up in His name, the victory comes. There's a work of God's Spirit that's done to release something within as we give ourselves to Him.
And one other word, surrender.
Yes.
We were taught at the tabernacle. It's like somebody says, stick them up, or I'll shoot you.
Another way, look at it.
I surrender. Well, I mean, that's the world, but in God, I surrender all.
Amen.
Here I am.
Okay, now, so write these things down. If we're going too fast, I'll go slower. But all right, there's something else, though, in those verses. It says, my what?
My lips shall praise You.
So it's right for us to open our mouths and say, praise the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
Let everything that has breath praise.
Praise the Lord. All right, so it's with our mouths, with our lips, we praise Him. And I believe in 141:2, it talked about our prayers being like incense. Does it say that?
Yes.
Our prayers are like incense. Now, that altar of incense was part of that Old Testament tabernacle worship. There was an altar of incense, and that incense was offered every day, daily. And in Revelation, we read that the prayer of the saints is like an incense that ascends into heaven. It's part of our worship, prayer, offering prayer to our God is one way we express our worship. Psalm 47:1. Clap your hands. We like that, right? Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. And what else?
Shout
unto God with the voice of triumph. For great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. So clap your hands. It's right to clap our hands. Now, we're not a clappy people. I mean, we don't clap on every song, you know? But, when God moves us to clap, there's something different. Again, it comes from within. And often, Dad mentioned about raising hands and praise falling. I found it when people clap. Sometimes maybe we don't feel it just at that moment. But when we begin to clap before the Lord, what comes? Shout. And this is not only reserved for corporate worship. You understand that? This is not reserved for just when we're in this place or you're in church. You can worship and you ought to be worshiping at home. Getting alone with God. Can you clap before the Lord at home? Can you lift up your hands? This way no one will think you're crazy. You're by yourself. And you can have a good time with God.
When we praise the Lord, darkness flees.
Amen. When we praise the Lord, darkness flees. Write that down in your books. Okay. Gladys Stephan said that. But it's true. All right. Psalm 145, 3 to 7. Psalm 145, 3 to 7. Maybe we ought to read that since it's quite a few verses. Let's see. Great is the Lord, and worthy or most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works. And I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. Now, I know there are a number of things there, but what is the essential? Or what's the main thinking there?
Testifying,
proclaiming, and it's being done here. One generation is telling the next generation, right?
Yes.
Of God's goodness.
Yes.
It's passed on. We need the older people.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
We need the younger people.
Yes.
Right? And instead of saying, oh, they're never getting it, they're so... No, we encourage them, right, Sister Marie?
Mm-hmm.
We encourage them. And we tell of God's mighty deeds.
Young people, testimonies and everything. The Lord speaks to them, to us.
Amen.
It's an encouragement to us.
So we need one another, right? Someone has, I've read that some places where, and maybe we're guilty of this sometimes as well, we split up the ages, you know? This is the adult service. This is the children's service. And we never have a time when we're together as the body of Christ. And we miss something if we do that. We need one another, young and old. We all have something, as Brother Peter said, to contribute to one another. All right, Psalm 150, 3 to 6. I told Brother Tom this morning, save the wood for another morning. He said, no, I have plenty of wood. And so... I think they do it on purpose. He won't speak so long. Make it hotter. Seven times. All right. Psalm 150, 3 to 6. What's the thrust there? What's the main idea? With instruments, right? It lists all the different instruments there. Violins, it's there, I think, somewhere. The stringed instruments, see, you're there. The violins and the organ and the tambourine and the trumpet, yes, and the harp. Cymbals, Bring your cymbals to church. See if your pastor will let you play them. But again, it's a way that we express our worship to God. And we ought to be careful. Again, those of us who play instruments, it's got to come from where, Philip? From the heart. From the heart. Lord, this is an offering to you. This is an offering to you. And we play. The Bible encourages us to play skillfully. I'm working on that. Play skillfully, right? Not just any old way. We give our best to Him. We offer it as a sacrifice to Him. All right, Psalm 4:4, 37:7, and 46:10. All have the same thought, all right? So maybe three people could read those verses. Who has Psalm 4:4?
Stand in awe, sit not, commune with your heart, with your own heart upon your bed, and be still.
Be still, all right? Who has the next one? 37:7.
Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices.
46:10.
Be still and know that I am God. I will exalt among the nations. I will exalt in the earth.
Okay, so what's the common among the three verses?
Be still.
Still. We can worship by being still?
Yes.
Be silent before God. Be silent in His presence. Have you been ever in a meeting where it's just gotten completely silent? And how powerful that is. As all of our hearts are turned toward Jesus, and there's a stillness. And you might say, well, that's for the, you know, the older set. But, you know, I've had meetings with young people, teenagers, and it amazed me how they could just sit in silence before God. And it wasn't because I said, now, okay, everyone be still. Kayla, be still. No, because God came. And God just settled down over that gathering, and everyone was still. Lost in worship. Be still and know that I am God. Yes, he danced with all. And you know, actually, I included that. I included that in our book here. That's coming soon. But I've seen when people are moved by God's Spirit and dance before the Lord, what a wonderful manifestation of the joy of God. But there's a difference when it's from within.
I think it's important. Some of the most profound things are simple. We kind of miss it. And when one is still, you invite the Lord to speak to you. You could hear His voice. And someone once said, not all the thoughts that come to us are our own thoughts. You know, they're either from our own thoughts, or God is trying to speak to us, or the devil is trying to speak to us. So, I thought that was profound, you know. And we have to learn how to distinguish that.
Yeah. All right, are there other ways? Amen.
Service. I had opportunity where occasion arose where there was a job to be done, and I asked the young people whether they wanted to do it. And he honestly said, no. And I asked each individual, and I said, okay, just prepare. And I'm willing to prepare. And then I took that as an opportunity to say, Lord, I want to do this for you. It was a difficult task. And not hard or strenuous for me at that time, but it was my offering to the Lord. And I'm so thankful that that's what our work can be, an offering to the Lord, not just work. It takes away the work when you do it for the Lord, do it heartily for the Lord. It's not work. It really can be worship. What I can, when we went to Guatemala, my first time there with Brother Phil and the group, there was a great need there, and I knew that we couldn't do everything, but the verse came to me, we could do, we did what we could. And that verse Jesus said of the lady, the woman who poured the ointment on his head. And the Lord took great acknowledgement of that. And how wonderful we can discover that there's something we can do for the Lord, no matter what it is. You know what I started off with? Sorry for taking too much time, but washing windows, blowing up balloons for VBS. This brought me such joy. Well, the windows wasn't so joyful, but the balloons were, because I saw the kids come out of the church with those balloons, and it filled me with such joy. And everything can be done heartily is unto the Lord. And you can turn work into worship.
I put down our acts of love and kindness to others. That's worship. Selfless service is worship. Present our bodies to Him. That's your spiritual act of worship. Presenting ourselves to Him. So I just wanted us to see that our worship can be expressed and should be expressed in truth, in accordance with God's Word. And so if you want to sing and praise Him and shout, well, let it be something that comes from within. If you want to be silent, if you want to testify, if you want to play an instrument, if you want to clap your hands, that's all right. That's the biblical way to worship. But let's give Him our lives. Let's give Him today. Let's present ourselves to Him. Say, Lord, we're yours. Teach us to worship You in spirit and in truth. Dear Lord, I just pray that You would give us a freedom. Lord, I pray that You would remove anything that would hinder us or bind us or inhibit us from expressing our worship to You. Lord, I'm so thankful that You come to us. You are the one. You are the one who gives us that liberty in the Holy Spirit to offer sacrifice acceptable to You. And so today, wherever we are, whatever we may be doing, I pray that there would be a song in our hearts, that there would be praise ascending to You, that our prayers would be as incense before You. Again, we pray for those in the village and in the cottage. I pray for the counselors. Pray, Lord Jesus, that Your good hand would be upon them, that You would protect us this day, keep us under Your precious blood. And those who travel today, we pray, Lord Jesus, that You would go with them. May You continue Your good work in their hearts. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.